Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What is your most out there and wild prediction for the 2024 season?
Well, I said this team was going to start out fast, and it was going to surprise some people. So my most out there prediction is the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to make the playoffs.
Fly ball onto the track, at the wall, it's gone! Home run!
Turns on a ball, deep right field, and gone!
What a game, what a moment.
All right, I am joined again by the Hall of Famer, John Smoltz, as I am every single Saturday. John, how are we doing? How was your opening weekend of baseball? How did everything go?
Went good. There's a lot of good storylines already. That's usually what happens in the first week. A lot of panic, a lot of hysteria, a lot of teams going to the World Series. I love it. I think it's a little bit much first week. That's what I love about it. Fan base gets crazy. Teams get off to a good start, get off to a slow start. Everyone starts worrying. It's panic. I love it.
I believe what you said last week is that you were working in Houston for the Astros-Yankees series, and that's the perfect example of what you're talking about. You have panic with one team, and you have they're winning the World Series with the other team, that being the Yankees and the Astros. What were your biggest takeaways from being there this past weekend and watching that series where the Yankees just blew the doors off the Astros and swept them 4-0.
I think the biggest thing is when you leave camp and your team is trying to execute its narrative, nobody did it better than the New York Yankees. And what I mean by that is talking to Aaron Boone, he said, look, we want to have a battle every at bat. We want to make it long. We want the pitchers to feel us. We may not absolutely get hits and get on base all the time, but he wanted his at-bats to make the season, every game, have a purpose. And they did that. They didn't score early, but they scored late. It's just nice when you have something you're working on to come out of the gate and have evidence to back it up. On Houston's standpoint, it's just a matter of time. They're just a veteran team. They had some a sloppy play. They didn't exactly play the way they wanted to. And then eventually, you know, the manager gets his first win. But I think the biggest thing is the New York Yankees came out with some confidence on an area that was very weak last year. Getting on base, trying to navigate runs without the home run, they're able to do that early on, and that's good boding. That's bodes well for them for the future.
Isn't it funny how there's not a lot of players in this world that you can plug one guy into a lineup, and it completely changes the entire feel. But that really does feel like it's the case with Juan Soto plugging into that lineup. It just feels like he changes everything, the entire feel of that New York Yankees lineup.
He does. The Dodgers won the offseason, but the Yankees were a close second. They got the best player available, not named Ohtani, to impact the club in a way that it is going to impact it in a variety of ways. But I think the adjustment each individual player makes in that lineup, they've got more contact, they got more on base, and let's not forget the rookie shortstop, which Aaron Boone could not stop bubbling over, and his changes that he's made offensively in Anthony Volpe will be a big, big time plus for the Yankees. So there's a lot to be, I know it's only the first week, but there's a lot to be excited about a team, even though they don't have Gerrit Cole offensively. I think they're going to make some teams feel the wrath of their lineup.
The other New York team, John, was involved in one of the, I would say, at least most talked about plays of opening weekend when Rhys Hoskins goes sliding into second base, takes out Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil stood up, and I thought just from seeing the replay, it looked like he was about to punch the guy laying down there on the ground. He was furious, and everybody around was just kind of like, what's going on, including Rhys Hoskins. But Jeff McNeil was furious that he slid in the way he did. One, did you see the replay? What were your thoughts on if you thought that was a dirty or a clean slide?
Well, look, the new rules have caused every middle infielder to be more comfortable around the bag. You know, it used to be where you get off the bag as soon as you can. And I understand the slide rule has changed, but there must be some history leading into that for it, for him to react that way.
Yeah, and look,
I've been a victim of overreacting. I'm not saying this was an overreaction, but I think the slide wasn't as vicious as it may have seemed to the reaction that McNeil. Now, although, you know, tell that to somebody who got his ankle, you know, hit with spikes. So it never got to feel good. But I think from a standpoint of where he slid and in the line of the base path, it was a real, it was early to get the tensions heated up that quickly. But there had to be some history in the past that led to that.
You mentioned the rule changes, and a lot of the rule changes, actually, especially with sliding into bases and taking out the catcher, actually took place my first year getting into professional baseball. And then so we immediately learned and were practicing how to slide, how to be within arm's reach, all of that stuff. And it just made me think when, you know, about asking you, because, you know, we've all seen replays of shortstops or second baseman jumping 2 feet out to one side or the other, or literally jumping in the air. That's what you're taught. Catch it and jump in the air over the sliding infielder. That stuff doesn't need to happen anymore, as you just mentioned, because of these rule changes. But what's the craziest takeout slide or collision on the base path that you ever saw while you were playing?
Well, you know, it used to happen all the time when I was playing, and you get the big burly guys coming in to the second baseman or shortstop. And I mean, the term was blow up the double play.
Yeah.
I think the one that comes to mind is Chase Utley. When he slid in and it was, and I believe, I forget who it was. I think they broke their leg, but you know, there was this sentiment that all through the playoffs, that Chase Utley was going to get hit. And yeah. I think it was against the Mets, right? Ironically.
Yeah.
So those plays when you're playing seem pretty good. But I think Kirk Gibson back in the day used to have like a barrel roll. Like he would come in and just barrel roll guys at second or short. So yeah, we've come a long way with the rule changes and the way that you can break up. Obviously you can't break it up the way you used to.
John, I got to ask about this team and organization. I'm almost frustrated at myself for even doing it because I told myself I wasn't going to talk about them very often anymore until they figured shit out, to be honest. And it's a frustrating organization right now. But we saw basically an empty Oakland Coliseum for the A's first and opening game of the year. There were fans protesting in the parking lot, even though the organization made it pretty hard for them to even do that by not opening the gates until later. We've seen over the past week, one of their most exciting and best players to start the year, Esteury Ruiz, was sent down to AAA. Brent Rooker was benched earlier in the week. So I guess my question is, what's going on with Oakland? Why do you like, what do you think it is with Ruiz getting sent down with the stadium being so empty like that? What's going on with the Oakland A's?
Well, from an outside looking in, you would think they have zero money. And everything they do is going to be payroll induced. It just seems that they are in a place where I don't know what their window is. I think a lot of people scratch their heads. You know, they were the talk of the town not too long ago with Moneyball. And yeah, we know how that worked out. And we know what has happened since then. But I think for baseball, it has to get worked out somehow, some way. It has to get cleaner than the visuals are being the optics, because it's not good. No player. I remember going into Montreal or the days back when I was with Atlanta and you could hear everybody because it was about 1500 people. It was not fun. High school baseball tournaments had more people than some of the places that, you know, you would go. And I think that has got to get cleaned up. I know baseball is trying everything they can to figure it out. Relocation, all the different things that are out there. But it's not fun. I mean, the bottom line is not fun for anybody. And I think just wearing that uniform and trying to play in that environment, you almost feel like getting on the road for the Oakland A's is a better scenario than the attention being given in a negative way when, you know, you mentioned it. It's just the optics are not a great look for that organization.
Is Montreal the stadium that you played in Major League Baseball that you remember being like the game that had by far the least amount of fans in the stands when you had to pitch? Is there anything that jumps out of like you remembering there is nobody here right now and this is awful to play it?
Yeah, there was a couple things. The Echo, of course, it's domed, so it had the retractable roof, so you can hear that. But you know what was some of the worst things was there was a plexiglass behind home plate, almost like a hockey plexiglass. And the worst part about pitching is I would see myself pitching in the plexiglass as I would face the hitter. That's terrible. Like I would follow myself looking at things like, stop looking at that. And then I couldn't stop looking at it. And the next thing you know, they used to have like some, before the graphics would get good, they had this kind of like overhead projector chicken that would come out on the, it was actually funny looking back. But then it got to the point where they were so good, right? And the stadium started filling up in 94. And unfortunately for them, you know, we didn't finish the year. But between Atlanta and Montreal, yeah, those probably were the two emptiest places I've ever been in.
John, you mentioned off the top of us talking that after the first weekend, it's always either doomsday and everything is falling apart or my team is winning the World Series and there's really no in between. But I'm going to ask you, after the first weekend of the year, what is your most out there and wild prediction for the 2024 season?
Well, I said this team was going to start out fast and it was going to surprise some people. So my most out there prediction is the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to make the playoffs. I think that is an easy train to get on right now because they got out of the gates well. They won some comeback games between them and Cincinnati. But I do think the Pittsburgh Pirates, and if you make that statement now, it would probably be a way out there statement, is that they are going to make the playoffs. And that's the way that I look at it.
What a fun start to the year for them. John, I have been very high on the Cincinnati Reds for many months now. And I know I asked you last week, and the two teams you named are the Reds and the Pirates. And tough for you to not look like an expert right now, John. They're playing some good baseball.
Well, they just got a lot of exciting young players. And the test is going to be not so much the first half. It's going to be what do they do in the second half? Because the fan bases are starving in both those organizations, especially Pittsburgh. And if they add instead of subtract, that would be the start of something really, really good in both those cities.
Well, that's another, you know, I've over the last few years at least believe a little bit more and at least the Reds organization to add. I need to see the Pirates organization and ownership to prove that, because they haven't it's been a long time since they've proven that they're willing to go all in to win baseball games. But if there's ever a year, it seems like this might be the one to start doing it.
I agree, and I think baseball's better when teams like that are relevant.
John, always a pleasure, my friend. Until next week, I appreciate it. All right, just wanted to thank John Smoltz again for joining us here on Saturday with Smoltz, where every single Saturday, the Hall of Famer from the Atlanta Braves joins me here on Flippin' Bats and talks really anything that's going on throughout the league, shares some stories. It is always so much fun for me growing up a massive John Smoltz fan, and I hope it is for you guys as well. We are so back, and you know baseball is back. And John Smoltz is on Flippin' Bats on Saturdays. But thank you all for listening. We will be back Monday with our new updated power rankings and team of the week and all of that fun stuff we do on Mondays. But until then, my friends, remember to subscribe and follow wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever. You can watch every episode as well on Spotify as well and YouTube at Flippin' Bats Pod there. And follow us on TikTok. We're getting so close to 100,000 followers. Help us out there. It's a fun spot to post some videos, and we do some cool things there, so check that out. But thank you all for listening. Remember, until next time, my friends, find your bat and flip it.